Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Have been trying to get actual or perceived sexual orientation and gender identity added to the PA Human Relations Act for as long as I can remember. During this legislative session, they have gotten the closest they've ever gotten with the passage of HB 300 in the State House. It passed by a vote of 102-98 on May 2nd of last year. Only one Democrat, Frank Burns from Cambria County, voted against it, and unfortunately, two Luzerne County Republicans voted for it. So, my question always has been just why are LGBTQ activists trying so hard to get this language added to the PA Human Relations Act, and just how dangerous is it? My guest today is Abraham Hamilton III. He's a husband, father of six wonderful children, lawyer, homeschool dad, and a teaching pastor at his local church. He also serves the National Office of the American Family Association as its general counsel and public policy analyst. He hosts the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio, and that can be heard around the country as well. He appears on other programs on AFR. Thanks, Abe, for being with us.
Oh, it's certainly my pleasure.
You know, as I mentioned in the intro, they've been trying to get this language in forever, really, as long as I've been involved in this kind of stuff. And it's to add that language to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act, which passed back in 1955. And the purpose of that, of course, is to, quote unquote, end discrimination across the Commonwealth. It impacts employment, housing, and public accommodations. I'm sure back in 1955, they had no thought of adding, even the term sexual orientation, gender identity, basically were unheard of back then. So what would the addition of that language mean to the citizens of Pennsylvania?
What they have been, as you laid it out there, trying to accomplish is to create protected class status for people, but that would move away from using the foundations of immutable characteristics. Mm-hmm. Historically, protected class status was afforded to citizens in the country based on a history of discrimination of different types. For example, women not being able to vote and things of that nature, but based on immutable characteristics. And so the immutable characteristics had certain features in common. One, they were readily identifiable upon presentation. You and I know each other, so if I walk into a room, you won't have any questions as to whether or not I've been blessed with an additional amount of melanin displayed through my skin. You know, mm-hmm. If you walked into my place of business, it would be obvious that you are a woman. You wouldn't have to say anything. I wouldn't have to go on a search and rescue mission. Mm-hmm. I would know that immediately. Secondarily, it included, second class status included people that had a history of voting disenfranchised. You know, women did not have the right to vote initially. You know, slaves weren't allowed to vote, former descendants of slaves weren't allowed to vote, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And one of the third enduring characteristics were that people had an expressed history of depressed income generating capacity. Okay. None of those things apply.
Exactly.
None of those things apply to people based on their decisions about their sexuality. And in fact, the opposite is true. Advocates for what I call the sexual deviancy sociopolitical agenda have been some of the wealthiest people in the country, well-funded, and they've never had their rights to vote encroached upon. And so establishing protected class status really is elevating a certain category of citizen really above other citizens, because as I'm sure we're going to get into, that there is no way to elevate to protected class status people who have made the decision to engage in sexual behavior, frankly, that violates scripture, and at the same time preserve the rights of religious freedom for those of us like myself and yourself who are Christians.
Right, that's exactly so. And my thought also is, I mean, Pennsylvania already has a black eye on the fact that the University of Pennsylvania allowed Leah Thomas, yep, a swimmer who is a guy who thinks he's a gal, and they allowed, mm-hmm, him to swim on the women's team, and he totally destroyed all sorts of women's records, swimming records. And, you know, to me, that's a black eye on the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But the leftists, the Democrats, of course, all except Frank Burns, the only one who voted against it, was their determination is to add that language. And, you know, one of the things is HB 300, if it becomes law, does delegate more power and authority to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission to, quote, foster goodwill and to, quote, minimize or eliminate discrimination in the state. Can that happen? Can it eliminate all all discrimination?
No.
No. Yeah. We're humans.
That would have the capacity of doing something beyond the blood of Jesus.
No, it's
unfortunate. And you rightly point out that Pennsylvania is the state that foisted Leah Thomas upon the nation. But not only that, in terms of the swimming records, it also subjected these female swimmers to be victims of what we used to describe as criminal acts of indecent exposure, voyeurism. And these young ladies were forced by the governing authorities in the NCAA, as well as the swimming leadership, to subject themselves to disrobe in front of a biological man.
In fact, the University of Pennsylvania told them, if, you know, the ones who did complain, they said, if you complained, you're the one having the problem. It's not, quote unquote, Leah Thomas. You're the complainers, the female swimmers. You're the problem. You need to have counseling, basically, is what the University of Pennsylvania told them. And that's just totally crazy. But, you know, and the big question, as you referred to a little bit ago, is would it fulfill this, you know, lack of discrimination? But in fact, when the answer is no, it would not. But the question is, would it increase discrimination against those with deeply held religious beliefs about marriage and sexuality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen this same type of phenomenon play out on the national stage when you had people like Jack Phillips in the state of Colorado, who sought to simply conduct his business consistent with his religious beliefs and his moral convictions. The same thing with Bernal Stutzman. We've seen this play out, and it will inevitably occur in the state of Pennsylvania. And unfortunately, I truly believe that is the objective of many people who advocate for this, because they are committed to it and they believe that they're doing the right thing, they want to stamp out bigotry and discrimination everywhere they find it. And they know that the foremost source of opposition to this type of ideology comes from people who believe in the scripture, people who are convicted by God to adhere to his standards on sexuality, identity, and marriage. And so this will inevitably result in not only discrimination against people who have deeply held religious beliefs, but it will have that discrimination with government sanction. It will be government sanctioned discrimination.
Yeah.
That is an inevitable consequence of this legislation should it become law.
Right. We've already had an incident, it was several years ago, but it was a bridal boutique, www Bridal Boutique in Bloomsburg, where there were two lesbians who came on a bridal gown made, and the owners refused. Of course, we didn't have any type of quote-unquote anti-discrimination laws on the books at that time dealing with sexual orientation. But their establishment, the bridal boutique, was picketed. Of course, you have to remember there's a large university there in town. So most of them were college students, I would assume. But they basically canceled on Facebook. Their Facebook page was totally, you know, all the negative comments and stuff. But they eventually had to close down. And with the owners, the owner said, well, we had hoped to be able to pass this business on to our daughters. But there's no way. But, you know, that even happened before this language is added to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act. Now, a second section of the bill's text addresses, quote, protection of religious exercise in the state. Now, this, again, passed in the House in May of 2023. And American Family News picked up the story. And you were quoted in that, and you reflected on the second section of the bill. You said it was telling the bill's authors used a legal term known as a strict scrutiny standard to assure Pennsylvania's the legislature is respecting the U.S. Constitution. And they even put those words in all caps so as to get the attention of any future judge or whatever, you know, to assure that a future judge that we really, the Democrats in the House, really did want to protect religious freedom. Now, what was your take on that whole thing? Have you ever seen a bill with the caps like that?
No.
In the one section, yeah.
putting verbiage in a piece of legislation in all caps, you know, it's like you're writing legislation like you're sending out a tweet or a Facebook post or something.
Shouting.
It shouldn't be. That shouldn't be employed in a piece of legislation. But I said then, and I maintain my position on it, that really that is offering lip service in order to help this, what I would call a really deplorable piece of legislation, survive constitutional challenge in the courts, because there are people, and I'm not saying every single person is, but this agenda is motivated by evil. And then there are people who are evil, but being evil doesn't mean that you're ignorant to legal standards. And so in order for a piece of legislation like this to survive a court challenge, it would have to survive what's called a strict scrutiny examination, which is the highest level of scrutiny employed by the U.S. Supreme Court, that says that if a state imposes a measure and that measure encroaches upon First Amendment freedoms, like the free exercise of religion, then that measure must advance a compelling governmental interest, but it does so by the least restrictive means possible. Now, that's the legal formulation for this. The text of this legislation does not accomplish that. But what the authors of the bill are doing is that they're basically giving a hat tip to the court system, saying, hey, by the way, we know that this bill encroaches upon the First Amendment freedoms. We know this bill curtails and limits the free exercise of religion. But we don't want you to slap this bill down for that reason, because we know it encroaches upon the free exercise of religion, but we want to do it anyway. So we are asking you to agree with our efforts to curtail the free exercise of religion in the way that we promulgated in this bill and allow the legislation to stand. Unfortunately for the authors of the legislation, simply acknowledging that you know a strict scrutiny standard exists doesn't mean your legislation satisfies that strict scrutiny standard. So it is nothing more, in my estimation, than a ruse perpetrated by the authors of this legislation to try to get to starting with the court system in Pennsylvania, to get them to ignore the violations of the free exercise of religion to allow this type of legislation to stand.
Yeah, because I know the U.S. Supreme Court has sided with Jack Phillips, which, again, he's in Colorado there, bake shop.
Yeah, Masterpiece Bake Shop.
Okay, Masterpiece Bake Shop. They sided with him on the homosexual issue when the quote-unquote gay couple came in to get a wedding cake, quote-unquote wedding cake. But, and then I think the next day transgenders went after him. So he's still in court.
Yeah.
So there's definitely an attack. Plus, it was interesting that there are several municipalities within the Commonwealth, within Pennsylvania, that have passed ordinances with this language in it. And I know when one, I think the very first one was in Allentown, and it was fought in the court systems, and the PA Supreme Court said it's perfectly okay for municipalities to go above and beyond the state laws. So maybe 40, 60, I don't remember the exact number, municipalities, mostly liberal municipalities, cities, and even counties. But one of the things that jumped out at me when I think it was actually Bethlehem that passed this type of ordinance. And, you know, one of the ways we've gone after these is they want to open the bathroom doors. Of course, the left has said, no. But this article, and I think it was the Allentown Morning Call, said, there was a quote from a homosexual activist said, yes, and give us access to the bathrooms. He said that, right there front and center. So that is also one of the purposes, is to fling those bathroom doors open. And I know Governor Shapiro has urged the Senate to pass this HB 300. So he's eagerly awaiting to sign the bill. You know, I know we need to get on the ball. And as Senator, the Senate is still controlled by the GOP. I don't even think the bill's going to be brought forward for a vote. But it shows how important elections are. Our primary is April 23rd. Of course, then there will be the general election in November. But it shows how very important elections are and the ramifications that they have, not in just your local area, if you're talking about state legislative members, but across the Commonwealth. So how can folks contact you if they want more information on this, or just contact you? You do a great job. I love the Hamilton Corner. And I appreciate your input on this, because a lot of people don't understand. You know, they look a bill and their eyes kind of glaze over, which I can understand that, because a lot of it's legalese. So I appreciate your explaining this and the dangers that this bill has to those in this state that have deeply held religious beliefs. And that's one of our angles, too, is that, you know, it will attack, you know, not only open the bathroom doors, fling those doors open, but will attack those with deeply held religious beliefs. And I think, as you pointed out, that is why they put those caps in the that language, in that section about supposed protection of religious freedom, because it does not do that. Anyway, how can folks contact you?
Yeah, well, let me just say one thing. You talked about the Masterpiece Cake Shop's case. It does impact this particular proposed piece of legislation. In this sense, the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision by the Supreme Court sided in Jack Phillips' favor, but did so because they had a state statute similar to what's being proposed in Pennsylvania right now. And what the Supreme Court concluded is that the state was simply too overt in expressing their hostility towards Jack Phillips' Christian faith, which means that had the state of Colorado been more clandestine in their hostility toward his Christian faith, perhaps they would have sustained it, which is why, as soon as his case at the Supreme Court was ruled on, a transgender activist attacked him thereafter because the opinion left that door open. The all caps inclusion of the reference to the strict scrutiny standard in this case is basically a hat tip to do the same thing. As long as we in the state of Pennsylvania don't overtly display in too explicit terms that our hostility is really towards the Christian faith, perhaps that we can skirt by and have the court sustain this. And so it's important for people to understand that, because that is a part of the objective, to curtail Christian faith. Like you said, open up the bathrooms, because let's just be honest, the main source of opposition to these type of to this type of ideology and legislation is coming from people of faith. And so in order to have their way, they must crush the dissent that comes from people of faith. And so we need to be on guard against that and be aware of it.
So how can folks contact you?
Yes, you can keep up with me. I'm on all social media platforms at the Hamilton Corner, at Hamilton Corner on the artist formerly known as Twitter, X, Instagram, YouTube, all of that. You can follow the Hamilton Corner program at afr.net/Hamilton Corner, or you can go to afr.net, click on the podcast page. You can find my show there. You can watch it live on YouTube. You can see the show on NRB TV on Friday evenings at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Anywhere you look for the Hamilton Corner, you'll find it.
You'll be there.
I'll be there. And afa.net is our main website in addition to afr.net.
Yeah. Hey, fantastic. And I appreciate Gerald's work down there in Mississippi, because it impacts not just Mississippi, but the entire nation. I appreciate it.
So, thank you. Hey, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you for what you're doing as well.
Well, we're trying to keep ahead of the bad guys. Okay, take care.
Hey.
Take care.
You
hey.
Too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.